Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that was, the one that is, and the one that is to come, the Almighty Father. We thank you this afternoon for being with us. I've been on the last Sunday. I wasn't on, I don't think. Amen. I miss y'all. Let you know, amen. I'm still on the fine line. I'm on the internet now. I'm on YouTube. I thank the Lord for that. So maybe those that haven't seen me, you can get me on YouTube. Amen. Glory be to God. It's good to be here one more day, thanking God for his love and his mercy. Still on the fine line, letting you know that Jesus Christ is coming back. And guess what? He's still saving. He's still saving souls. In these last and evil days, Jesus Christ is saving souls. Amen. It might not be too much soul saving in the churches, but the Lord is saving on the street corner. He's saving in the prison's house. He's saving anybody that want to come to him and repent of their sin and turn from their wicked ways and receive Christ in their life. Jesus Christ has open arms for all sinners, all hypocrites. He has his arms open for you. Amen. Make no difference what you have done, what you think about doing. I'm going to let you know Jesus Christ is coming back again to this earth. And he's coming very, very, very soon. Sooner than I think he is. And I'm out here, amen. I'm out here spreading this gospel as much as I can, talking to people as much as I can, handing out tracts as much as I can, because the time is short. The day is far spent. And the sun is going down. And as it goes down, we see what the condition of the world is in, the condition of our churches today. It seems like people are still singing and shouting and running about, trying to have programs and doing all kinds of recreation, doing all kinds of business. But let me tell you something. You better make sure before you leave this planet, whether you go to church or not, you better make sure your soul is saved. You better make sure your soul is saved from sin, death, hell, and the grave, because you do not want to die lost. You don't want to die without Christ in your life. You don't want to die not knowing what the new birth is like. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came. Nicodemus came to Jesus one night and asked him, amen. He was a religious leader, a rabbi, and Jesus Christ sat down and talked to Nicodemus, amen. And he was a ruler of the Jews, amen. And I want to let you know, amen, since he was a ruler of the Jews, amen, the Lord had a long talk with him. Jesus Christ talked with Nicodemus. I know the Lord is leading me on this here scripture, amen. I want to find it for you in the book of 3 John. Third chapter of St. John. Amen. Amen. Praise God. In the book of the third chapter of St. John, the Gospel of St. John, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He came in the nighttime because it's a quiet time to talk. It's nighttime. He wasn't around a whole lot of people. So Nicodemus made a beeline. He made a beeline to go see Jesus at night because he wanted to talk to him about who he is, what he came to do, and explain to him, hey, the things of eternal life. Listen to what he said. He said, the same that came to Jesus by night said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher that comes from God, straight from God, God himself. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. That's why Nicodemus said he came straight from God. And the only thing that can come straight from God is his son, Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, God in man, God and man, 100% man, 100% God. He is the King of kings, the ruler of the universe. He is the great I am. He is the beginning and he is the last and anything in between. He is self-existent. Jesus Christ had no beginning and Jesus Christ has no end. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Here is Nicodemus talking to Jesus Christ, the very presence of God himself. Listen what he said. He would say, we know you'll come, thou art a teacher and you come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Jesus done, that thou does, except God be with him. No man could do what Jesus Christ did on this earth while he was here. He did miracles on top of miracles. He did wonders. He showed himself to be a loving Savior. He showed himself to be concerned about the souls of men. He showed himself that no other human race has seen how Jesus handled himself. Woo, listen what it said. Jesus answered and said unto him, who him? Rabbi Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, we know your teacher come from God. Ain't nobody can do all these things. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee. I'm saying it to Nicodemus. Christ said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Listen what it said. He cannot see the kingdom of God. No man, except he be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. No man can be saved except he come through Jesus Christ. No man can be redeemed unless he come through Jesus Christ. No man can experience the power of God through the Holy Spirit of his burial, of his death, and his resurrection. No man can what? Be born again unless he accept the atonement that Jesus Christ did on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. God manifested himself in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory. And now he's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father that hears and answers prayer. And men today need to be saved, but yet still men refuse to accept this salvation that Jesus Christ wants to give every man freely. And he says to Nicodemus, man, let me tell you something. You cannot enter the kingdom of God except you be born again. All right? Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now listen, this is a rabbi. This is a Jewish leader. This is a man that knows the word, knows the Old Testament rules and regulations. And here he's asking Jesus, how can I be born again when I'm old? He's a pretty old man. And Nicodemus said, well, if I had to be born again, can I go back into my mother's womb and come out again to be born again? You think on that. Think on that. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? In other words, go back into his mother's womb, reduce him down to a baby again, and go back into his mother's womb and then be born again, come out a second time? Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. Listen, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, what you talking about, preacher? When Jesus Christ said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He is saying, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What do Jesus mean? Jesus means that if a person is never born, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God because he don't exist. Whoever is born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God except a man be born of the water. So when a baby is born, for the 9 months that baby stays in the mother's womb, that baby floats in water. That baby floats in water. You got that? That baby floats in water for 9 months when that little baby, that little embryo, is in that mother's womb. And that baby stays in there for 9 months, floating and tumbling and going just floating in water, because the water is what sustains him in the mother's womb. You got that? The water sustains it. The mother sustains the baby in the mother's womb. And he said, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So when that baby is born, guess what? In 9 months or 8 months or sometimes you have premature babies. Guess what? Guess what breaks? The water breaks. The woman breaks her water. When the water is broken, the baby has to come out. When the baby comes out the mother's womb, the baby is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But the baby is born what? Of the flesh. Now listen, this is what Jesus said. That which is born of flesh is flesh. So what's born of flesh is flesh. And in order for that baby to be born in the flesh, it had to float in water for what? 9 months. When the 9 months are up, the water is drained out of the mother's womb and the baby comes out. When the baby comes out, since the time of Adam and Eve sinned, that baby is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It's born in innocence. But when that baby grows up into an age of accountability and know right from wrong, guess what? That baby becomes a sinner. You're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But when that child becomes to an age of accountability, he becomes a sinner. Because the sins of Adam that baby carries, Jesus Christ died on the cross for the Adamic nature that baby carried, because it's not that baby's fault that it was born in sin. So if that baby would die at birth, whether it's aborted or whatever, people throw them in the garbage can, people have babies and go down to the, get ready to have a baby, they go down there and get an abortion and yank the baby out of the womb at a time of 8 months. Some people have premature babies that don't live. Those babies that die without the age of accountability will go to heaven. Why? Because the Adamic nature that they call from Adam, Christ died for that sin that baby carries until it gets the age of accountability. So guess what? What's born of water? Guess what? This is what Jesus said. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he's old? And you know for a fact, ain't no old man going to go back into his mother's womb, good God Almighty, and be born again the second time into his mother's womb and be born. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man born of the water, that's the water that breaks from the mother, and of the spirit, which is the spirit of God, when that baby gets age of accountability, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Sixth verse. That which is born of flesh is flesh. You're born flesh. You have a spirit in you. That spirit belongs to God. You have a soul in you. And that soul, amen, at the age of accountability, needs to be saved. That which born of flesh is flesh. That which born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. This time, you must be born again of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. You must receive Jesus Christ at the age of accountability. And a lot of people fuss about the age of accountability. Some say it's 12 years old. Some say it's 13. Some say it's a little older. But we don't know exactly. But I imagine when a child becomes to acknowledge the law, what is the law? The Ten Commandments. When a young person reads the Ten Commandments, amen. Guess what? Apostle Paul said, when I knew the law, amen. And when I heard the law, when I got old enough, I died. I was sold under sin. I realized that I was a sinner. So what age is that? The Jewish tradition is the age of 12 and 13, which is called Bar Mitzvah. And so what I'm saying, if you don't receive Christ at a young age and you grow up, and as you grow up, you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And the older you grow, the more aware of you knowing that you need a Savior. I knew, oh my God, listen to what I'm saying. I knew I needed to be saved at 9 years old. I knew it. I knew it because I was doing little things that, you know, you wouldn't think a nine-year-old boy would do. But I heard the gospel preached to me, and my heart was tender. My heart hadn't yielded to sin and got engrossed with sin. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior at the age of 9 years old. I was baptized with the water. The water didn't save me. And you know what saved me? I confessed with my mouth, and I believed with my heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and the Bible said thou shall be saved. A lot of people teach that you got to get a certain age to get saved, but you can get saved at a ripe young age. And what did Jesus say? Suffer the little children to come unto me. For such is the kingdom of God. So young children, amen, can be saved if the parents would teach them who how to be saved and let them know you're a sinner. You're wrong. Amen. You're wrong, and you need Jesus Christ in your life. You can ask a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, ask them, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty? And I guarantee you, man, the Lord can touch that little child's heart, amen, and he will confess it that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He died for your wrongdoings. He died for your little sneaky things. He died for you in every aspect, and you can receive Christ. Now, what about the age of accountability if he does not accept Jesus Christ at that age? Well, like I said, between the ages of 12 and 13, that's when you really begin to get acquainted with sin, with wrongdoing. And I knew I was wrong because I felt guilty when I did something wrong at the age of 9. But everybody don't get saved. Amen. I come from a Christian family. My mom and dad took me to church, showed me the Bible, read me the Bible, gave me scriptures to try to remember. Hey, I had a little problem with that. Praise God. But she just took me to church. And as I went to church, I learned more and more and more about what? The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's what I got a hold of. That's what I seen my mother teach Sunday school. And as she was teaching Sunday school, she'd give me these little play cards and teach me about the cross of Christ, how he died and suffered on Calvary's cross, and they put him in the grave. And on the third day morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth. I grew up with that. Amen. Praise God. And after I got saved at him, so I didn't sin no more. I did some things that wasn't right. Amen. I went to high school. I had girlfriends. I kissed girls. Yeah, come on now. Woo, Lord, have mercy. I know, but amen. It's, hey, that's life. That's life. You go through stuff like that. Amen. And the Lord took me through that. He took me all the way through that until I was at the age of 21. And then he anointed me and gave me a calling to preach the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I've been preaching ever since I was 21 years old. Thank God Almighty. It's not that I accepted Jesus Christ. I already accepted Jesus, but I got a calling on my life in the United States Navy. I got a calling in my life, and God anointed me to preach the gospel. It was such a powerful witness that the men didn't understand me on the ship. Woo, they didn't understand because I was proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he has called me into the ministry, and I've been preaching ever since then. And I've been preaching Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Tell your children, tell your mama, tell your daddy, tell everybody, tell your enemies, Jesus Christ is the only way that we can enter into the kingdom of God. It's not by the works that we are saved. It's not by how good you are. It's not how sweet you are. It's not how white you are. It's not how black you are. It's not how much money you put in the church. It's not how much you don't do and do don't and do don't and do don't. It's what? It's your faith in Jesus Christ that you admit that you are a sinner and you need to repent of your sins and confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. You see that one third chapter of St. John, the church is overlooking that. The church of today is overlooking that. The new birth, born of the Spirit. You already been born of the water when you came out of your mother's womb. And when you came out your mother's womb, you was a human being. You had a soul. You had a spirit. And since you had a soul and a spirit, that soul need to be saved. We know that, like I told you, a child is innocent until the age of accountability. But when you find out what the law is, the Ten Commandments, and you look at it and say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not but commit fornication. When you see that coming into your limelight and you see your body changing, you go through puberty and you see that drive, that sexual drive, well, you acknowledge that you're wrong. And the word is saying, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know none of us, not a one person on this planet, not one person was on this planet or been born on this planet was born sinless. Nobody. But Jesus Christ, when he was born sinless. He was born perfect. He was born holy. He was born righteous. He was born everything that God is, because Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. And he's telling Nicodemus, ye must be born of the Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Holy Ghost, Spirit of God. And the Holy Ghost is the very presence of God Almighty in you through Jesus Christ. When you accept Jesus Christ, you become a Christian. You're a baby Christian. You got to grow in grace. You got to study the word. You got to, ooh, Lord, have mercy. You got to watch who you hang around with you. And the world today don't know how simple it is to come to Christ. It's the simplest thing in the world. And people today is rejecting the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. And young boys and girls are growing up absent of knowing what it is to be saved. And guess what? They are responsible for their own sins, and they need to be taught how to come to Christ at a young age right now. Don't wait till you get 15 or 20 or 35 or 45 or 65 or 70. The longer you stay in sin, the longer you reject Christ, the longer you go to church and just go to church and never had a change in your life. Because if Christ comes into your life, there is a change. It might not be drastic or dynamic in some other people, but the Bible says this. You know. You absolutely know. If you don't pass death to life, and the Bible says, And a lot of people say, well, how do you know? I know that I'm saved. I know that I passed from death to life. I know Christ redeemed me. I know the blood of Jesus Christ sanctified myself because what? Because I love the brethren. I love the brethren. Whether you're a sinner or whether you're a saint, I love the brethren because God is love. God ain't nothing but love. You talking about love. Love comes from God. And if you got the love of God in your heart, you love everybody. Come on. You love everybody, white, black, yellow, green, poor, rich. You love the whoremonger. You love the adulterer. You don't love what they do now. No, no. No. I love the homosexual, but I don't love what they do. I love the lesbianism, but I don't love the lesbianism they do. I don't love this homosexual matter that's going on the face of the earth. I don't hate that. I hate it with a passion. I don't hate the person. No, 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 no. I don't hate the person, but I hate the person, amen, that continue to live in sin and let sin take them to hell. I hate sin. I hate the devil. I hate his lying self. I hate the way people letting the devil use them all day long and all night long. I hate it. And God hates sin, but God don't hate nobody. He loves everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He ain't got no more son. He can't come down here and die no more. You can't be born but once physically. What's born of flesh is flesh. You're born physically. And when you're born of God, you only can be born once. You can't be born 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You cannot be born again 12 times. You only can be born of the Spirit one time. And that one time is when you sincerely, sincerely repent of your sin and be broken up. Realize that you have sinned against a loving, caring God that gave his only begotten son, that through him, you can have eternal life. It's not going to be no religious leader that gets you to heaven. It's not going to be Buddhism. It's not going to be Baptist. It's not going to be Presbyterian. It's not going to be no religious leader. I don't care who he is, Farrakhan. Whatever is Farrakhan, the Buddhism, the Jehovah Witness, all these false religions that's going around on the face of the earth today, and they're excluding the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They say Jesus Christ was just a mere man. That's a wandering lie. That's a lie come out of the pits of hell. Jesus Christ was nobody else but God himself. Because God is the only one that can bring salvation to your soul, nothing but your soul. It won't be the Catholic. It won't be the Baptist. It won't be the Presbyterian. It won't be the Mormonism. It won't be the Nazarene. It won't be Armstrongism. It won't be the KKK. It won't be humanism. It won't be the fashionism. It won't be Islam. No man-made home backyard religion is going to get you, or denomination going to get you to heaven. No way. Jesus said, you got to come to me. If you want to know who God is, you got to accept Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's God and he did it all by himself. He hung on the cross by himself. He went down in the hell by himself. He come up out the grave by himself. And had all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And now we're living in absolutely the last days just before Jesus Christ comes back. And let me tell you, my friends, my brothers, my loved ones, my fellow saints, those that don't know Jesus Christ, know your Savior. Know your Savior. Don't call on nobody else's name but the name of Jesus Christ. Don't depend upon Farrakhan. Don't depend upon no Baptist preacher. Don't depend upon me. Don't depend upon non-denomination. Don't depend upon the Lutherans. Don't depend upon Taoism. Don't depend upon Satanism. Don't depend upon no false faith religion. There's over 4,200 false religions on the face of the earth today. 4,000. Think about that. And they all say they know the way to heaven. If you leave Jesus Christ out of your life, you hear what I'm saying? Please listen to me. If you leave Jesus Christ out of your life, you are going to bust hell wide open. Your beauty, your shape, your money, your car, your successful on your job, you being a so-called good person, because ain't nobody good on this earth. There's only one that's good. That's God is good. Woo! Jesus said, don't call me good. There's only one that's good, and that's my Father in heaven. So actually, ain't nobody good on this planet. Thank God for Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ denied what he's saying. Don't call me good. Call my Father, which is in heaven. He's the only good. Woo! So God, through his Son Jesus Christ, was given the goodness to himself. God is the only one good. He's been good to you. He's let you live this long. He's kept you through seen and unseen dangers, whether you're a sinner or not. People praying for you. People want you to come to Christ. If you have any loved ones that want you to come to Christ, a mission to you receiving Christ as your personal Savior, God has kept you here another day to have an opportunity to accept him. It's like 1, 2, 3. It's not difficult. The devil tried to make it difficult for you to receive Christ. It's a free gift. Eternal life is a free gift. And God gave it to the human race, and the human race is rejecting it. Majority of the population on the face of this earth right now is rejecting Christ. They're rejecting Christ. They're rejecting the Creator. They're rejecting the one that gave his life, that through his life you can receive eternal life and live forever and ever and ever, forever and forever with him in glory land. Because there is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And my friends, people are dropping in hell every day. Every day they're dropping in hell. Because they believe that there's no hell. They don't believe that Christ died. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. They've been talking about it. They've been talking about it for over 2,000 years. And many people are saying, that's a bunch of hogwash. Ain't nobody going to come down here and judge the world. I'm going to live like I want to live. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Even God Almighty ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I got my own way. I got my own way to get to heaven. With your own way, will bust hell wide open. Because without the shedding of blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, the Bible says there's no remission of sin. You cannot get forgiveness until Christ come back from the grave. And he's already been out of the grave for 2,000 years, and he's forgiving people today, and he's saving people today. And you need to know Jesus Christ right now. The Lord laid that scripture on my heart, the new birth, and the new birth was explained to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus got saved. Hallelujah! Nicodemus got saved. He accepted the Christ that he spent, I don't know how many hours he spent with Christ, but it was at night, and he got the answer. You must be born again. And the Bible said the water baptism that Jesus told us, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's different from being born of the water coming out of your mother's womb. This year, baptism represents the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're putting on the badge of identity. Because Jesus went down in the grave, the water represents the grave. And when you go down in the grave, you come up walking in the newness of life. You are a new child now. You have been born of the Spirit of God. God lives in you through Christ. You are now a child of God. You have been sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. Now the world can't do you no harm. the world, the devil, and all his cohort of angels can't unsave you. He can't take your salvation. He can't rip you off. Why? Because you're sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. Lord have mercy. A lot of people say, well, if I don't speak in tongues, do I have the Holy Ghost? Well, speaking in tongues is no evidence of the Holy Ghost. The devil got a tongue. He can speak in tongues. He can shout. He can run across the floor. He can jump up and down. He can turn flips. He can do all that crap. But when you're born again, amen, there's a change in your life from that day onward. And the world today is trying to dramatize if you've got religion by doing certain things. The Bible said if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, thou shalt be what? Saved. S-A-V-E-D, brother. Letting the devil tell you, you got to do this, don't do that, don't do that. Well, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. The truth of God is what? The truth of God is that Christ is the only Savior that the world has. You hear what I said? Christ is the only Savior that the world has. And the world is saying, we don't want Jesus. We just want to go to church, sing and shout, and turn the place out. We want to hear the preacher preach. And you hear the preacher preach, but there's no change of life. You want to hear the singing of the choir, you don't see no change of life. You come out of darkness and you walk into the marvelous light. You cannot serve two masters. You can't come to church on Sunday morning and jump high as the sky and shout and speak in tongues. You can do all that and then go out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you do your party. You do your lying, your fornicating, your adultery. You do all that stuff and then come back the next Sunday. Oh, the Lord's been good to me. Yes, he's been good to you because he's let the rain on the just and the unjust. Ooh, but one thing about it. That old song come from the old school. I know I've been changed. Oh, I know I've been changed. There's another one says, I looked at my hand. My hand looks new. Looked at my feet and they. You don't hear them songs no more. The reason why, because people ain't been changed. A lot of folks ain't been changed. Yeah, because let me tell you, when you change, your hands look new. Your feet look new. You talk different. You walk different. You love different. You love everybody. Ooh, you just want to hug. Uh-oh. Don't say too much love. People get the wrong idea. But I'm talking about divine love. I'm talking about God's love. I'm love. God got that unconditional love. Make no difference what condition you in. He can bring you out of that condition and put you on a higher plane. And he can pour down the love of God in your heart. And let me tell you, the neighborhood will know it. Whoo, the devil will know it. Because when Christ comes in, the devil knows. And he gets mad. He'll tell you you ain't saved because you didn't get a feeling. Amen. It ain't all in feeling. It's in faith. Bible said without feeling. It didn't say nothing about without feelings you can't please God. It said without faith. Without believing God. Without trusting in God. Relying on God with all your problems. Take them and give them to him. For he cares for you. And he's coming. He's coming back again to get a church. Nicodemus said, okay. Jesus said, marvel not. I say unto thee, ye must be born again. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. But it comes through the ear, comes through the nose, it can come through it can come to the left ear, the right ear, it can go up your nose, it can come any way it wanted to. And guess what? When it comes in, it has no door that it can be shut, that the Holy Spirit can not get in. The only way it cannot get in is you resist it. When you resist the love of God, when you resist the mercy of God, when you resist the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, hanging on that cruel cross for 6 long hours. And they stretched him. They ripped his flesh. They spat upon him. They call him everything but the Son of God. They made fun of him. They said, if you be the Son of God, come down off the cross. He's so powerful. Good God Almighty. And Jesus didn't say a mumbling word. He said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And guess what? The world don't know what they are doing when they reject only way to eternal life. Ain't nobody going to come with no formula. Ain't nobody going to be freezing no dead bodies and looking for them to get up on resurrection morning. If you die without the love of God in your heart, you're going to burn in hell. That sounds cruel, but it's the truth. People say, well, I'm trying to pay my tithes and pay the preacher, pay, give. I'm trying to pay my way to heaven. That's a lying wonder, because the devil knows ain't no way in the world you can pay your way to heaven. Ain't no way in the world you can work your way to heaven, because works cannot save you. It's faith and believing God that he loved you so much. And as low down and dirty as a sinner is, and we all done sin. Me, I have sinned. I ain't put myself on no pinnacle. Amen. We all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But God's grace, amen. And that don't mean go out here and deliver and do everything you want to after you get saved, because you can't do it. God won't let you do it. But sometimes it takes people who receive the new birth, takes them a long time to catch on. They got to grow out of that stuff. And some just stay in a backslidden state. But I got news for you, backslider. The word of God says God is married to a backslider. He was married to Israel. He is married to the born again believer. He said, I'll never leave you, neither will I forsake you. Lo, I'll be with you always, even till the end of the world. A salvation message saying that Jesus Christ loved every saint that have accepted him as personal savior, and he will never let you go. I don't care how much trouble you catch. I don't care how much hell the devil's bringing up against you. I don't care how many headaches you done had. I don't care how many times you wonder, Lord, am I going to make it? I know I'm trying to make it. No, don't try. Just accept Jesus Christ and admit that you've been wrong. Admit that you've been trying to play the hypocrite. And quit being a hypocrite. Quit loving the world and trying to love God at the same time. Either you love God and hate the world, or you love the world and hate God. I love God 110% plus. The world don't have nothing to offer me. Nothing. And the world don't have nothing to offer to you. But misery and agony and disappointment and depression and all kinds of medical and all kinds of mental problems that the devil can bring up on you. But the Bible said, you got to keep your mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed up on him. You keep your mind on the love of God and trusting in Jesus Christ and loving people and telling people how good God done been to you, brought you out of nowhere when you didn't have nowhere to go. Now he gonna save you, sanctify you. Oh, by the way, sanctification means to be set apart from what? Sin. The only thing can set you apart from sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo! The blood of Jesus Christ can sanctify your soul, to make your soul say, yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you for delivering me from cigarette smoke and drugs, and deliver me from lying and cheating and whoremongering, and deliver me from homosexual, deliver me from lesbianism, deliver me from all these horrible things that Satan has called me to do. Thank you for delivering me. And now I don't belong to Satan. I belong to Jesus Christ. My friends, this is what the new birth is all about. The new birth is not by church attendance. It's not by that. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's people who don't go to church or Christian. Oh, you said, oh, you got to be a Christian to go to church. Well, there's some people that go to church that's not a Christian, and they They still doing the same old thing they've been doing 30 and 40 years ago. And that's why the Bible tells the young believer and the young convert, lay aside every weight, lay aside every sin that so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of my faith. In other words, my eyes is not on the world. My eyes is on Jesus Christ, because soon and very soon, he's going to split the sky. This is what the third chapter of St. John is talking about. It's talking about the new birth of the sinner man. I didn't come to call the righteous, but to call the sinner to repentance. Repentance is a very important word. Repent, making a 180-degree turn away from Satan, sin, death, hell, and the grave, and put your eyes on Jesus Christ, where the hope of glory is your only way out, because there is no escape from hell from such so great a salvation that Jesus Christ brought on this earth. 2,000 years ago, Jesus brought salvation, and it's still open. Whosoever will, let him come. This is Watchman on the Wall, End Time, Internet, Gospel Message. I want you to still stay on that John 3:16. John 3:16 says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the new birth. I'll read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, if you take and put your trust in him and turn from your sins and repent of your sin, you have everlasting life through only Jesus Christ. And you are willing to stand up and confess to the world, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo! That's powerful. And I want you to know, this is Elder Bazard letting you know that I love every one of y'all out here. Amen. My time is good time. I'm glad I got that out of the Word of God, and we're going to get into a little deep end time messages, end time prophecy. And you know, right now we're living in the last days. We're living in just before the return of Jesus Christ. The world don't see it. Some church folk don't see it. Some preachers don't see it. Some deacons don't see it. And the world is saying the time is winding down. We know that the Bible is right, make no difference how much people try to blot it away. You cannot take nothing out of the Bible, and you cannot add anything into the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is already written by a holy God. And it was given to people so that they could become holy. And let me tell you, God called holy men filled with the Holy Ghost to write the Bible. And when they wrote exactly what the Spirit of God told them. We're living in the last days. And since we're living in the last days, we know that we have heard about the rapture of the church, the rapture of the church. We have heard about the Antichrist. He's here. He's alive on the planet right now. Amen. The rapture of the church is just round the bend. We ain't got too much longer because of all the horrific things that's going on. And one of the most unique events that's happened on the earth today is found in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the wheel in the middle of a wheel, prophet. The wheel in the middle of a wheel and the bone specialist. The 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The 38th chapter of Ezekiel preaches of an invasion that's getting ready to happen pretty soon. And this invasion has to do with Russia. Listen to what I'm saying. It has to do with Russia. Russia pinpointing another avenue. Oh, yes, they're going to get Ukraine, but they're not really after Ukraine. That's just a spot in which Putin wants all those nations, satellite nations, to come back and join the Soviet Union to make a stronger union. But his main, listen to what I'm saying, his main idea, his main priorities, his main unique event that's going to happen pretty soon, Putin wants to invade Israel. You hear what I said? Putin's main idea and his main pinpoint is he wants capture the Middle East. He wants Jerusalem, the city of the king, the city of the Lord of hosts. He wants to ransack Jerusalem and take possession of the Middle East, and he's working at it right now, 24-7, 7 days a week, 52 weeks, 12 months. He's working at it constantly. The Antichrist, can I say this? I know I'm going to say it anyhow. The Antichrist is alive today. He's alive. He's living. He's waiting. He's looking. With all the killings and the murderings and the rapists and the drugs and the alcoholism and the sex pornography and the sex trafficking and all these secret societies that's linking up to control the world through the Luciferians. The devil says, I want the world, and I want to destroy every human being on this planet. And the world is saying, ha, 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 I don't believe in that garbage. The devil is not really trying to destroy us. We having too much fun. We are living the way we want to live. And man, the devil got all kinds of ways that I can enjoy life. Yes, he does, but it ain't going to last. It's not going to last. If the Antichrist is here and Russia is planning between now and September and October, he's planning to get the nations of the world. Let me get the nations of the world. Let's see what he says in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel. Amen. This is what Putin is getting ready to do. He took us all this 2,600 years ago, and he spoke of a 2022 invasion upon Israel. Listen to what it says. Say, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Prophesy against him and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. God is telling Ezekiel to tell Putin, tell Russia, tell all the nations, I am against you. I don't like what you're getting ready to do, Meshech and Tubal, Gog and Magog. He said, listen, fourth verse, I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaw. I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed and all sorts of armor, even a great company, a great company, with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, which is Iran, Ethiopia, which is in Africa, Libya, which is in Africa, them, all of them with shield and helmets. Gomer, Germany, all his bands, the house of Togarmah, Turkey, and the northern quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. All right? This is Ezekiel saying that in the end time, just before Christ comes back, because there's two phases of the return of Jesus Christ. The first phase, Now, listen to me. The first phase is the rapture. The second phase is the second coming. The rapture and the second coming is two different phases. When he raptures, what? What is he going to rapture? He's going to rapture the church. That's the first phase. When he raptures the church, that means, this is what this means. It means every born again believer. You hear what I said? Every born again believer that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that meets all the people around the world, and there are 7.1 billion on the planet now. So when the rapture of the church occurs, it will be such a dynamic event that it will shake the core of human history. It will be the most marvelous event that will ever happen on this planet, but it also will be terrifying to know that every born-again believer, now you notice I didn't say religion, because religion, whether you Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, that ain't going to get you there. It's going to take the new birth, just like Jesus told Nicodemus, for you to be raptured up. When the church of the living God, the holy church, the righteous church, the church that was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, blood purchased the church. He bought it with his blood. He didn't buy it with silver and gold. He didn't buy it with prestige. He died and suffered and came back to life. And from that, he brought eternal life. Now men, boys, and girls can be saved anywhere on this planet. I don't care where you at. The Lord God Almighty can save. You ready for this? I'm in the 38th chapter. You got your Bible, 38th chapter of Ezekiel. Listen what it says, 7th verse says, be thou prepared and prepare thyself and all thy company are assembled to thee, and be thou a guard unto them. 8th verse, after many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountain of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. This is referring to the return of the Jewish people coming back into the land. When they get back into the land, good God Almighty, they're going to bring a group of people from all four corners of the earth. The Jews are going back to Jerusalem. I said the Jews are on their way back to Jerusalem. They're going by the thousands. Why? Because they know without a shadow of a doubt that the Messiah is coming. But guess what? Before Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, guess what's got to happen? The rapture of the church has to occur, and after the rapture of the church occur, the Antichrist will rise. Uh-oh. I said after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist will rise. When this Antichrist rises, he will be the dictator of the world. He will come on a peaceful platform. He will come under the democracy. In other words, he will bring democracy, but he's going to change in the middle of the tribulation into a dictatorship-type government. He's going to come on a peace platform. The Jews are getting ready. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's getting ready to rebuild the temple, the third temple. The third temple. This temple will be the final temple until the millennium reign. When the millennium reign comes, this temple that's going to be built is going to be desecrated. It's going to be torn down. And Jesus Christ is going to build his temple during the millennium reign when he comes back to this earth. And he's coming back with what? He's coming back with the church. the body of Christ. He's coming back with those that was raptured 7 years before the end of the tribulation. He's going to rapture the born-again believers into the clouds. Listen to what it says. After many days thou shalt be visited. In other words, the land of Israel going to be visited. By who? Putin. He's coming down from the north. He's coming down with a what? A great army. Five nations will arm themselves and come down up on their holy mountain of God in Israel. Listen to what it says. After many days thou shalt be visited in the latter years. What latter years? This year was prophesied 2,600 years ago. And Ezekiel says in latter years. What latter years? 2,600 years later. 2,600 years later, Russia will bear down from the north to go in and take Jerusalem by force. And by force mean that he's going to have such a great army that there won't be no nation, no kingdom that will be able to stop him. But there is a God in heaven. Y'all don't listen to me. Listen to me. I love you out there. There's a God in heaven that's going to prove to the world that you mess with my people. If you curse my people, if you reject my people, if you don't bless my people, if you don't pray for my people, if you don't witness to my people, guess what? I'm going to tell Russia it's doomsday for you, because that's what's going to happen. When Russia and Putin and his armies and his tanks and his plane and his horses and his spears and his helmets and all this armament that he had make a play to come down and take the middle of Jerusalem and try to rule the world. He's going to try to rule the world from the place of Jerusalem, that holy city, that city in which Christ was born, that city where he was raised, that city in which he, oh, Lord, have mercy, he suffered and died on that cruel cross. They hung him so high until heaven. I believe heaven had to move back. They hung him so high that what? Woo! They tell me that hell shook like jello and the devil quaked and the devil knees knocked together. He couldn't understand because he had took everybody else and they never resurrected from the dead. Now he messing with Jesus. And when he messed with Jesus, he messed with the wrong man, because this man was not only just a man, he was God Almighty in the flesh, wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a manger in Jerusalem of Judea. And he stayed on this earth for 33.5 years. And he preached to those in prison, and he set their captives free. He fed 5,000, and he did all kind of marvelous works. And then one day he said, Lord, have mercy, I'm going to have to go to Calvary. Calvary, Calvary is where I'm going. And the disciples said, Lord, please, please. And they tell me, Jesus said, no, this is in my Father's hand. I got to go. Yes, I do. And I got to suffer. I got to be beaten on. I got to be spat upon. I got to put crowns of thorns on my head. I'm going to have to be drenched in blood. I'm going to have to be whipped 39 times. I'm going to have my blood, my beard picked off. And yet and still, he said, not my Father's will, but let your will be done. What you talking about Jesus done for you? Woo! He done something for me that I'm shot from here to eternity. I don't have to go to hell. I'm not going to hell because Christ saved me. Saved me from sin. Saved me from myself. Saved me from all unrighteousness. Saved me that one day I'll meet him in glory forevermore. Woo! Yes, Putin is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Why? Because he wants to rule the world. Russia is in a terrible shape. They ain't got no food. They ain't got a lot of things that they need, oil, gas. They need food. And listen, it says, after many days, this is what it said, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword. That's Israel. And is gathered out of many people against the mountain of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nation, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Israel is coming back. When they come back, they're going to dwell in safety for a period of time. They're coming back for one reason. They got to meet Jesus Christ. Where they going to meet him at? They're going to meet him on the top of the Mount of Olives when Christ appears at the end of the tribulation period. They're going to meet him. They're going to see him. They're going to witness him. And Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, is going to stand on the top of the Mount of Olives, the same mountain that he spoke the discourse, the same mountain that he left on, the same mountain that the disciples went up into the mount and they saw the glory of God. He's coming back. And when he comes back, Israel is going to see the nail prints in his hand. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Israel are going to ask the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They're going to ask him, where did you get your wounds? And the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ himself, is going to yell back out of Zion and said, I got my wounds from the household of my friends. And the Jews' eyes are going to open and the scales are going to drop from their eyes. And they're going to behold the Son of the living God that they rejected for over 2,000 years they rejected him. And now they see the nail prints in his hand. They see the scar on his side. They see the nail prints in his feet. And they're going to call out and say, my God, my God, my God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. And a remnant of Israel shall be saved at the end of the tribulation period. The ninth verse said, thou shalt ascend. This is Russian now. Ninth verse. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land. Thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. There it goes again. They still coming. They're coming down from the north. They're coming down from Togarmah. They're coming down from Gomer. They're coming down to Libya. They're coming up from Ethiopia. And they're going to be armed with weaponry. And they're going to try to invade the land which the Lord God gave the Jewish people. 10th verse. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. What is the evil thought? The evil thought is an invasion. The invasion of Russian armies coming down on Jerusalem. That's the evil thought. 12th chapter of Genesis says, whoever blessed Israel, I will bless them. Whoever cursed Israel, I will curse them. So Israel is going to be able to defend themselves only by God Almighty. And Russia is saying, we are going to take the Middle East. And God said, that's a lie because nobody going to touch my people and get by. And here we see them had an evil thought in their mind, and they will say, let us, 11th verse, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without wall and having neither bars nor gates. This is during the tribulation period. Guess what? The invasion will happen after the rapture. Think on that now. Deal with me. Hold your horses. Listen to what I'm saying. the invasion will not occur until the rapture of the church. The church will not be here under this invasion because it's going to be an all-out war. There's going to be a World War III. And from that point, wars are going to break out all over the face of the earth because there's going to be a battle that will end all wars in this disposition, and it's called the Battle of Armageddon. What is that? What is the Battle of Armageddon? The Battle of Armageddon is the last battle at the end of the seven-year tribulation. The Battle of Armageddon is where all the armies, listen to what I'm saying, all the armies of the world, including America, including the nations of the world, including every armed man that can carry a rifle, a gun, or drive a tank, or do anything concerning war, guess what? They are going to meet God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They're going to meet him at the Battle of Armageddon, which is called Megiddo. Megiddo will be the final spot in which the nations of the world and all their armies will come to Megiddo, which is a battleground down through the ages. That's where Goliath got killed. That's where a lot of battles were fought. At least about 40 battles were fought at Megiddo, which is Armageddon. It's a 200 miles plain where it's so large that, amen, it's going to take a large army to fill that valley with blood. That blood is going to be slaughtered in the Battle of Armageddon at the end of the tribulation period. Because at the end of the tribulation period, Jesus Christ will literally open the heavens from east to west. And people will still be on the earth. He will open from east to west, and Jesus Christ will be riding, get a hold of this, he will be riding a white horse from heaven with all the saints. Y'all hear me? Did you hear what I said? All the saints of all ages will come back, including the church, the Old Testament saints, will come back with Christ at the end of the tribulation period and fight the Battle of Armageddon. And there's going to be so much blood and dead corpse laying in the valley that it will fill the 200-mile square filled with blood up to the horse's bridle. You don't believe that, but that's coming to pass because we live in a rebellious world. The devil got the human race rebelling against God. More people are cussing today, using the Lord's name in vain. They're blaspheming the word of God. They're making fun of Jesus Christ. They're ignoring Jesus Christ. They don't care nothing for him. They don't want nothing to do with him. They're telling him to go on back. Now, I'm going to get vivid, too. I'm going to get vivid. There's some devils now that's in people. They can tell Jesus, go on back to hell. We don't need you. All right, you talk that away. There's a day coming when you're going to have to stand before God, and if your soul is without God and you haven't been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, hell is going to be your home. I didn't say that. The word of God says it. Because it says all the unbelievers, you hear what I said? All, A-L-L. What part of all don't you understand? The A or the L? All that reject the sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ at the end of the great white throne of the millennium reign. The great white throne will be orchestrated and brought into the middle of the universe, and Jesus Christ, God Almighty, was set on the throne, and they will judge all the wicked dead. The graves will open. People will be coming up out of the sea. They'll be coming up out everywhere, all murderers. People have murdered people and buried them in certain spots, they will get up. Everybody's going to get up. All the wicked will come out their graves, and they will stand before the great white throne, the final judgment, just before the lake of fire will be filled with unbelievers. Unbelievers. There won't be one born again believer in hell. You hear what I said? There won't be one born again believer in hell, because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And those that follow Satan, those that did the work of Satan, those that didn't receive Christ as the Lord and Savior, they will go to hell with the devil. And the devil will say, yes, I got you. I got you, buddy boy. Yeah, I fooled you real good. Yeah, you had your money, you had your women, you had your prestige, you had all this. You had money on top of money. You was a billionaire. You was a millionaire. Man, you partied, you jumped, you did everything you wanted to do. But I got you. Satan will say, you going to spend with me for now and forever. You going to spend in hell with me. Your soul will be with me forever. You don't want to go that way. You don't want to go to hell. I don't wish nobody would go to hell. I don't. My worst enemy, I wouldn't want you to go to hell. But if you reject Christ, that's where you're going. You need to weigh this matter. You need to wear this prophecy out that I'm reading to you. This prophecy of the invasion of the Middle East. Russia is invading. Listen to what it says. What they're going to do down there when they get down there in Jerusalem. They say, to take spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of what? Of the nations. Who gathered out of the nations? The Jews. Gathered out of all the nations, which have begotten what? Cattle and goods, and dwell in the midst of the land. Look her here. Look her here. Russia wants the materialistic goods and the cattle and the groceries that they're growing. Ooh, Israel grows some of the finest food in the world. They know how to farm. They know how. Why? Because God gave them that gift. They got more potash in the Dead Sea to fertilize practically the whole world. They got oil. They got gas. They got rich land. They got a land that's been blessed, although evil has tried to overthrow that part of the country, because that is the birthplace. That is the birthplace of the human race. Adam and Eve was over there by the Euphrates River. Over there by the Garden of Eden. And nobody don't know exactly where the Garden of Eden, but it's up there by the Euphrates, the Gihon River, and the Pison River, and the Hidako River. That's the crater of the human race. And that's where the human race is going to be defeated, at the Battle of Armageddon. And God don't want to do this. God don't want to do this. But he got to do it, because he's a just God. He's a loving God. And when you spit at his mercy, when you spit at his son Jesus Christ, when you deny that you don't need Christ, when you go along in life and you have your fun and you just do whatever you want to do, and then you tell the Lord, I want to go to heaven. Well, you can't go. You can't go. Because your heart has not been sanctified. You have not been cleansed from sin. Your soul and your spirit is still spotted with sin. And the only thing that can blot out and take away all your sins, the only thing can do it, is the blood of Christ. It's the only one can do it. Clorox can't do it. Lysol can't do it. Tide can't do it. No deodorant can't do it. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can take away your sins. Nothing. And the world is saying, I don't want the blood. Jehovah Witness says, I don't want the blood. Jehovah Witness says, we don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Mormonism says, we don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All major occult religions deny that Jesus' blood can wash away your sin. In some churches today, they don't even sing blood songs no more. And the reason why, because the devil said, if I can get rid of the blood, if I can get rid of the cross, if I can make the cross look like it's a waste of time, I got you. I got your soul. Satan knows that the only powerful force and reconciliation that man can be brought back to God, he knows it's the blood. That's why you don't hear these songs no more. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You don't hear that. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You don't hear Jesus keep me near the cross, the old rugged cross. You don't hear them songs no more. Everybody's a rap tap, beep tap, 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 shouting in the jumper, shouting in the jumper. I don't care how much you shout or how much you jump. You better come on and fall down on your sin bending knees and look toward the cross and say, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Because as sure as you born, Russia is getting ready to do a thing that's going to shake the heavens and the earth. And let me tell you something. Try to take the spoils of Jerusalem. 13th verse says, Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all the young lions shall take all the young lions, therefore, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, and take away cattle and goods, to take away the great spoil? All the young countries, such as America and Britain, and all those young countries around the border of Israel, America is going to say, wow, y'all coming to take Israel? Y'all going to make an attack upon Israel? And America ain't going to be able to help. No country on the face of the earth is going to be able to stop this Russian army that's piling up. They enlisted men from Ethiopia, Libya, Egypt. They enlisted men to get enough men to cover the land like a cloud. And they're going to come down from the northern parts of Russia and make a move. Listen what happened. Listen what happened. This is dynamite. Woo! This will blow some sense in your mind, in your heart. It says, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto God, thus says the Lord God, in that day, what day? In that day, my people of Israel dwelleth safely, thou shalt not know it. In that day, what day? The day in which Israel will dwell safely. How are they going to do that? Well, listen, after the rapture of the church occurs, the false Christ will arise out of the Western European common market. That's where he's coming from. He will arise and he will bring peace on a peace pact. He will consider himself to be Jesus Christ. He will give Jews a covenant to rebuild the temple. And now, 2022, the Jews are getting ready to rebuild the third temple. And the Antichrist is going to give them permission to build a temple. What makes the Jews believe that this man is really Jesus Christ. oh, the Jews are going to be extravagant, wonderfully saying, this is our Messiah. And this is what we've been waiting for 2,000 years, that he would come. And Jesus had already warned the Jews. Listen, y'all, if I come in my Father's name, y'all will not receive me. What do he mean? Jesus Christ came in his Father's name, God Almighty. That's Christ's Father's name, himself. Y'all won't receive me. But if another man come and use his own name, thou wilt receive. What was he saying? He was saying when his Antichrist comes, he's coming in his own name. And the Jews are going to receive him as their Messiah. The Antichrist will give them permission to rebuild the temple. He will give them permission to get the two red heifers and sacrifice them to purify the temple. He will give them permission to do everything that the old law requires of trying to reestablish Judaism. They're trying to go back to Judaism, but it's not going to work, because when Judaism was done away with, Christ came back from the grave, hung on a cross, Judaism was done. No more animals, no more turtle doves, no more sheep, no more bullocks, no more. It's done. It's done. And since it's done, Christ fixed it. He sacrificed himself once and for all. Now it's no longer Judaism. It's what? It's Christianity. Because Christianity came out of Judaism. Judaism was law. Christianity is grace and truth. The law killeth. But Jesus Christ brought light. And when he brought light, there's no other way that a man can be saved than through the name of Jesus Christ, because he is the light of life. Therefore, Son of Man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus says the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwell in safety, thou shalt not know it. And thou shalt come from the place out of what? North parts. North parts. What's north of Jerusalem? North of Jerusalem is what? Moscow. Moscow is north of Jerusalem. Ezekiel said the band going to come from the north, meaning Putin is planning to come straight down through the Ukraine Valley. Huh? And when he comes down through the Ukraine Valley, he don't want nobody in Ukraine to try to stop him. So he had to get rid of Ukraine. It's a pitiful thing that hurt me real bad, and I know a lot of people probably won't even agree with me. They didn't have a fighting chance to try to beat Russia. I wish a lot of people could have escaped and just leave. Men have died, babies have died, schools have been bombed, train stations have been bombed. I hope to pray to God that the rest is in Ukraine. They're going to have to leave. Just leave. I know it's going to be difficult, but I'd rather see you alive leaving than dead and buried in shallow graves, and women rape, and all kinds of horrific things are going on, which is coming up between God's face, and he smells all that Gog and Magog is doing. And don't you think one iota, Russia, the armies of Russia, the leaders of Russia, is going to pay for everything they have done to the Ukrainians. And they're going to pay trying to make it up on to the holy mountains of Israel. Listen what it says in the book. In the book, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. It tells me my past. It tells me my now. It tells me my future. And my future is bright. My future is worth living for. Just to see Jesus is worth living for and to be with him forevermore. Listen what it says. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north, and thou and many people with thee, all of them riding up on horses, a great company and a mighty army. Riding up on horses. Who has the second largest horse farms in the world? Russia. America has the first, but Russia has 1.5 million horses. And here, Ezekiel saying they shall become riding up on horses. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north, and many people with thee, all of them riding horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up on what? My people, God's people, Israel, as a cloud to cover the land. And it shall be what? Look here. It shall be in the latter days, 2022. The latter days from 606 BC, that's when this prophecy was made, from 2022. And now we're living at the very end of time, the very closing of the age of time. The end of what? The end of satanic rule, the end of demonic and demons and flying demonic spirits in the air. Demons, devils, Nephilim, wicked spirits are hovering the earth right now, going to and fro, seeking who they may devour, tearing up the home, tearing up the youth, tearing up anything they get their hands on. Demons are roving. Suicide is up. Homosexuals up. Lesbianism up. Adultery is up. Divorce and remarriage is up. Everything is up. Gas is going up. Food is going up. You name it, it's going up. But I got some news for you, my friend. Jesus Christ is getting ready to take the church up. Can't stay here for too much longer. It's too rough and too tough. Amen. The church done went through its tribulation. 2,000 years of church history. We've been on the battlefield. Those that's been out there on the battlefield, been fighting for a long time. Been fighting down through the winter months, the summer months, been fighting around every mountain, been fighting around every crook and cranny evil spirit that you can throw your shoe at. The devil's ruined. He's trying to get those that he don't have. And one thing about it, he cannot reclaim a saint of God. He cannot take back and come in and take the Holy Ghost out of you. Because he can't come near the Holy Ghost. He can't come near the blood. When he sees the blood, guess what? He said, the devil got to pass over you. And if you saved and sanctified, and when judgment comes, guess what? The rapture come, guess what? Jesus Christ is going to rapture the church through the blood of Jesus Christ. Every denomination will be left here on earth, because there ain't going to be no denomination in heaven. Oh, no, no, no. Ain't none of that mess. No, no. If anything be in heaven, it's going to be Christianity. Because during the millennium reign, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and he will have no part of the millennium reign, no part whatsoever. He's going to be cast into the bottomless pit 1,000 years. And man, those that go through the tribulation period and come through with their natural body, God is going to repopulate the earth one more time, just like he did Noah in the ark. After 8 souls were saved, God saved Noah and his family, and when they come off the ark, they replenished the earth until this present day. And now the earth is getting ready to be depopulated, not by man, but by God Almighty, because the wicked shall perish. and the righteous will live forever. All right, I'm still in Gog and Magog. This is what he got. What he got up in his sleeve now? He says, "Listen, thou shalt come down against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land, and it shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathens may know when I shall be what." This is God speaking. This is God Almighty. Listen what he said. He said, "And I will bring thee against my land." God's telling Gog and Magog, "I'm going to bring you against my land. Not yours, my land." And the heathens are those Gentile nations. Gentile nations are known as heathens. That the heathens may know, the folks who don't care nothing about God, the folks think they God, folks that's doing all kind of wickedness stuff, they spitting at God, they lying on God, they doing whatever they want to, heathens. Homosexual heathenism. Lesbianism, heathenism. Wino, drunkard, fornicator, heathenism. That's what you're doing. You're a heathen. And God said, "I gave my son. I gave you my son that you may know one God, a righteous God, a holy God." He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." 17th verse says, "Thus says the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophet?" Yeah, of Israel. Which prophesied in those days, many years, that I would bring thee against them. He spoke to Isaiah. He spoke to Ezekiel. He spoke to Jeremiah. I'm going to bring these heathen nations against the nation of Israel. And I'm going to do what? Sanctify myself. I'm going to shake myself. I'm going to loosen up. I'm going to do some rocking and some rolling. I'm going to let the world know who I am. You see, the world don't know who God is. No. They don't know. They talk about him. They got a lot of lingo about it. But they don't know God. You say you know God and you hate folks? You say you know God and you a wino, drinking and cussing and lying and cheating and backbiting and whoremonger. You know God. You don't know God. You know the God of this age, the devil, because that's all he can do. You walking in unbelief and you say you know God, you are a hypocrite. You are a liar. And no liar will tarry in the presence of a holy, righteous God. No way. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Ezekiel says, 19th verse, "For in my jealousy, see, and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel." This is that future. This is future, brothers and sisters. Listen to me. Church, listen to me. This is future. It's coming. God's going to do what? He's going to shake the land. Shake the land. How bad is it going to be shaken? 20th verse said, "So that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heavens and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creepeth upon the earth and all," look here, "all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountain shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground." Man, that's an awful earthquake like never before. When the fishes of the sea gonna feel it. the beast and the fowl of the earth going to kill it. And all the creeping things that creepeth up on the earth shall fill it. And all the men, white men, black men, yellow men, ugly men, pretty men, woo, they're going to feel it, that are on the face of the earth shall shake at thy my presence, and the mountains shall be what? Thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. It's going to be a earthquake that NBC, ABC, MSNBC, ooh, they are going to feel it. The proud is going to feel it. The liar is going to feel it. The backbite is going to feel it. The church goer is going to feel it. Woo! Because when this earthquake happens, the church will not feel it. The church will not be here when this earthquake occurs. It won't be here. That's a fact. Think about it. Listen what it says. How bad it's going to get. 21st verse. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. God is going to have such terrific power that the armies will fight and kill each other because of the fear that's going to come up on their faces. They change their faces continually. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon many people that are with him, and overthrow rain and great hailstone, fire and brimstone. Thus, listen, 23rd verse. Thus I will magnify my, you know what people got? They got God in a paper bag. They got him a little small house for him. They think he's shorter than you. They think ain't nothing to him. And yet still he holds the world in place. Sunrise every morning. Trees bloom every spring. They think God is some off somewhere wondering what he done made wrong. But he said, I will magnify. I'm going to bring it out. I'm going to shake. I'm going to rattle. And I'm going to roll. And you know something? You don't want to fall under the wrath of God. You don't. And God don't gave you enough time. God don't gave you plenty of time. God don't gave you time that you should have been dead and gone, but he still give you time to make up your mind, because pretty soon you're going to see what's getting ready to happen in the Middle East. It's going to shake the course of the human race. It's going to be like a fright night. It's going to make your liver quiver. And whether you're in church or whether you're walking down the street or whether you've been doing good things all your life, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you will hear, you will see this great earthquake that's going to terrify the whole world. Because God said, I'm sanctifying myself. I'm going to sanctify myself and show you how holy I am. I am that I am. I am so holy that the moon and the stars and the elements are impure in my sight. What is man that thou should even be mindful of him? Or the son is man that thou should even visit him? He made just a little lower than an angel and he's crowned with glory. I'm going to show mankind. I'm going to show teenage kind. I'm going to show women kind. I'm going to show you who I am. Please, watch who he is. He's the creator of the universe. He's the maker of everything. He knows what he's doing. He's self-existent. He's omnipotent. He's immutable. He's God. He's going to shake himself. Last verse says, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself. I will be known. Oh, Yeah, look at here. I will be known in the eyes of what? Many nations will recognize me, and they shall know that I am the Lord. The black nation will know. The white nation shall know. The Chinese nation shall know. The Russian nation shall know. The Latin nation shall know. The Indian nation shall know. Every man going to know. God has been so merciful. God has been so righteous. God has been so understanding, giving man an opportunity to what? Recognize who he is. And man says, I ain't got time. You're going to have to put down the football. You're going to have to put down what? You're going to have to put down the golfing and the basketball. Because when the Lord shakes this heaven and this earth, you ain't going to have time to be bouncing no balls. You are going to what? Recognize that there is something, not something, there's a God in heaven. Because he's the only one that can shake the earth. And the world is saying, uh-oh. So what the church should be doing? The church should be witnessing. The church should be telling the people about true salvation. The church should be witnessing and telling folks, get ready, get ready, get ready. Jesus Christ is coming. Preachers should be yelling behind the pulpit. Revelation is almost here. Revelation is getting ready to open up. Revelation is the book, what, that God wrote to the seven churches of Asia Minor. He wrote it to tell the churches what thus says the Lord. Whoever hears the Spirit, let him hear it with his ear. The church of Ephesus, the church of Smyrna, the church of Pergamos, the church of Thyatira, the church of Sardis, the church of Philadelphia, and the last church age, Laodicean hypocrite church, a church that have the form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. They ain't got no power to love nobody. They ain't got no power to get up and go to Bible study. They ain't got no power to do nothing but just lay around and wish things would get better. Well, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. It's going to get so bad that the Bible says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And don't you think, yes, indeed. A lot of people going to be calling upon the Lord pretty soon. Oh, yeah. Stock market's going down. Gas is going up. Folks are killing and shooting and murdering. Ooh, Lord, how much can you stay? How much can you stay? And God is telling you right now, in that 38th chapter of Ezekiel, this is what's getting ready to happen, my friends. And if I'm lying to you, I'm getting ready to die. If I'm lying to you, I'm getting ready to die. And I know I ain't getting ready to die. But if I'm lying, I'm ready to die because this is biblical. It's horrific. It's a fact that God is going to show the rebellious generation exactly who he is. Whoo! I only been here 77 years and I'm tired of sin. I hate it. I resent it. Apostle Paul said the things that I wanted to do, I couldn't do. And then he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of sin, this body of sin? Sin is in the body. Sin is yearning. Sin wants to break a loose. But let me tell you, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you loose as a goose. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have salvation. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't tell nobody about the love of God. The love of God passes all understanding. And here we got the 38th chapter telling you split point blank exactly what's going to happen to people. Right there. That's it. Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal. It's telling you we need to wake up. The last church age is Laodicea. They're neither hot and they're neither cold. They're lukewarm. And Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to gurgle teach you out of my mouth. Christ is saying, you make me sick. You make me sick with this hypocritical spirit that you got, that you think you can do what you want to do and say what you want to say and go what you want to go where you want to go and do all your mess. And then on Sunday morning, you bring it up before me and you bow your little head and you act like you got so much. And then before you even get out the door, you're ready to rock and roll some more. You're ready to go cut somebody out. You're ready to go tell somebody off. You're ready to tell so-and-so we going to so-and-so and we're going to have some fun and party. You hypocrite. You have a form of godliness, but you ain't got no power. We need to think on these words. If Russia attacked Israel, like I said, it won't happen until the body of Christ is removed from earth. And by October or September, September comes first, October. According to the scriptures in God's word, those are the months in which the last feast days will be fulfilled, which is Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacle. These are the months. These months is coming up will be the conclusion of the fifth Feast of Trumpets. The fifth Feast of Trumpets is the fifth feast day of the Lord. That's the fifth. The sixth one is Yom Kippur. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. Feast of Tabernacle is when the millennium reign starts. The Feast of Trumpet is the trumpet month. Whenever a trumpet is blown, that means war. That means get up. That means awake. That means repentance. That means get ready for battle. The other four that has been fulfilled, and it won't reoccur no more. The last three have not been fulfilled. The first four, which is Feast of Passover, crucifixion, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruit, the resurrection, Feast of Pentecost, been fulfilled. All three has been fulfilled. No recurrence, no makeovers. It's done. The next three that has not been fulfilled is Feast of Trumpets of Yom Kippur and Feast of Tabernacle. If Russia makes this attack, it has to be done after the rapture of the church. Feast on that. Pray about that. Seek the Lord on that. Lord, you mean to tell me this preacher telling me that we only got a few months left? You mean the church only got a few months left? Oh, that's unbelievable. I got a couple of things to do, but what you talking about? You better get ready. You better get ready, because when the trumpets blow, the shofar, When you see the Jews preparing for a temple, when you see the two heifers being organized, when you see the Jews talking about getting the high priest ready and getting the menorah ready and getting the Ark of the Covenant ready and place it inside the temple, you better look up. Jesus said, look up for your redemption's drawing nigh. Oh, yes, I know what he said. No man knows the hour. No man knows the day, but it didn't say nothing about no month. It didn't say nothing about the Feast of Trumpets. It said the Feast of Trumpets is for one reason, awakening. And when the trumpets blow, people are going to wake up, because when they blow, the dead, good God Almighty, the dead in Christ shall rise. Those that have died are still in the grave. Now, I know the body is still in the grave. But those that died in the Lord is in paradise. But the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And when we meet the Lord in the air, the Antichrist will come on the scene on a peaceful platform and tell the world that he is Jesus Christ, and the Jews will accept it. And when the Jews accept that he is Jesus Christ, the Gentile nation will say, yes, Jesus is in Jerusalem. Is he? Yeah. He's getting ready to go and tell the Jews that he's going to make a seven-year covenant to protect the Jewish people for 7 years. And the Jews will believe it. So get ready. Prepare yourself. You need Jesus Christ in your life. I didn't tell you to quit working. I didn't tell you to go and sell your house. No, don't do none of that old crazy stuff. Don't go on top of the mountain and put a white robe on. No, that ain't going to work. But look at the signs of the times. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the Middle East. And keep your eyes on Russia. And make sure you got your eyes on your own salvation through Jesus Christ. You need him right now. The only thing you got to do is repent. Don't be left here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity, this program this evening, Lord. Somebody that needs to be saved, the only thing they have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, and confess Christ with your mouth. Believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. We thank you, Lord, for this session. We ask you, Lord, let continue on. Let me bring the word of life that somebody may understand and see what signs and times that we're living in. You need to be saved. The only thing you got to do is just say, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. I am sorry for my sin. And I'm confessing with my mouth. And I'm believing with my heart that God Almighty raised Jesus Christ from the dead for my salvation. Thank you in Jesus' name. God bless you. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bazaar. Come on back. I'll be with you probably with Saturday at 7 o'clock with Brother Timothy, and on Sunday morning, 11:30 to 12:30, and on Sunday afternoon, 7 o'clock, preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and looking for his return.